Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Larrith and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Bounce back effort by the Avalanche last night as they beat Winnipeg 5-2. Even up the series at a game apiece. Everybody was wondering, would Alexander Georgiev get the start? And if so, how would he play? He played well. Outplayed the likely Vezina Trophy winner and Connor Hellebuck between the pipes for Winnipeg. And in the process, for Jared Bednar, answered a lot of his doubters.
Everyone just goes immediately to doubt and criticism. And so to be able to sort of put that aside, focus on his process just like we would with the team, be mentally strong, resilient, and then go out and prove people wrong in game two, that's a tough job to do because you are the last line of defense. You are who are every 50% of the questions I've had over the last 3 days through three media availabilities are going to be about Georgie.
Give Georgiev a ton of credit because he knew what was being said about him. He knew that if Justus Onanen had been completely healthy, there was a decent chance he wouldn't even get the start in this game last night. He knew that all the Avalanche were talking about him. Game starts. Winnipeg fans are chanting his name derisively. He gives up the first goal. Everyone's going nuts. And yet, he battled through it. Now, it didn't look clean. You know, he wasn't tight and clean to the post all the time. No. But as the game went along, you could see him gaining some confidence, finding a rhythm. And by the end of the night, he was the better goaltender on the ice by far.
Yeah, he was. And by the way, even the broadcasters in that particular game were talking about how shaky he was early. Like not seeing the puck well, not catching it in his glove. But you're right. He did get, over the course of that game, get a lot better. And, you know, I understand Jared Bednar and what he says and the way he coaches his team, but there is no question in my mind that if Onanen was healthy and wasn't out with the flu bug or whatever he had, like there would have been a good chance that Georgiev wouldn't have got the start last night. So all the things that he has been criticized for, that's fair game. When you're not playing well and you play a professional sport, it's fair game. And to his credit, he did stand up, Mike. He did play well. But, boy, I tell you what, a good thing he did for him. It's tough because everybody was on him, and rightfully so.
But Georgiev acknowledging that he got the support of his teammates.
They've shown so much support to me over the last couple of days. Very rough first game, obviously. And I just felt so much trust in the room from everybody. I appreciate it so much. Helped me reset and know that they got my back. I know I'll help them out as well during this playoff. It was huge from them. Appreciate it.
Support and trust, was it genuine or was it exactly. The Avalanche players, was it acting? Was it like, hey, we got no choice. This is right. The guy. We got to find a way to prop him up.
This is sick. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, man. Everybody's gone through it. Everybody's struggled a time or two. So you have great empathy when you're in a locker room that way. But there is a part of you that's like, you got to do your job, dude. And so, and it's, you know how it is, man. Especially when you're struggling. It's sympathetic. The ball or the puck or whatever finds you.
Yeah.
It's like the guy who's struggling, you know, fielding ground balls. Ball's going to find you, man. Yep. It's just the way the game works. So I will give a ton of credit to Georgiev, who looked shaky early and then really looked good late. He made strides yesterday.
Third down.
Peyton Manning. Perhaps you've heard of him. On with Dover and Stoke yesterday. Talking about the Zach Wilson trade and how slowly but surely the Broncos building a decent quarterback room.
Yesterday I was over at the facility and you know, we'll see how the draft plays out, but you know, it looks like there could be some good competition, which hopefully makes everybody better. And I'm sure that's what Sean is trying to create.
Where would you place the odds, Mark, that when we go into training camp later this summer, the three quarterbacks on the roster are Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Ben DiNucci?
And Ben DiNucci?
And Ben DiNucci.
Those are
that's it.
No, that's Zero chance.
Okay. What are the odds that we go into the starter training camp with Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci, and a second or third day drafted quarterback?
I think those odds are good. I think those odds are like 50%.
Oh, so then the other 50. So then the other 50% is that they would have a first round quarterback there as well. Okay. Right. We'll find out.
I think there's good odds, but they'll go into camp with four. Will they go into the season with Ben DiNucci?
Probably not. I would say the Zach Wilson trade eliminates the Nooch.
Right. No offense to Ben DiNucci. I'm sure he's a great.
Love the Nooch. I got his jersey.
The Nooch? What number does he wear?
I don't know.
I don't either.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Well, we never talk about him for good reason. But, hey, when they win, I guess we should mention the Rockies won last night.
Did they?
They beat the Padres 7-4 in front of an announced crowd of 18,000. Our buddy Patrick Saunders from the Denver Post saying out on Twitter last night that folks in the press box estimated there were 11,000 people at the game. So good job, fans. Keep staying away. Keep sending the message. But even in a Rockies win, they did trail at one point in this game.
That's 24 straight games, right?
So that's in all 24 games, they have trailed at some point in the game.
Solid ground. It used to be 1931. I wonder if it's dropped down.
I wonder if it's gone down to 28 or something.
I hope it gets into the aughts.
Yeah.
Because I love it when in the old time things, they used to say, 1906. You know, like that. I don't know what the aught. I don't know where that came from.
They all talk like that back then, huh?
Everybody
talk like that?
Everybody who had...
Boy, that would be a little annoying if you walked down the street and you heard everybody talking
I'm just...
Oh, there they are, the boys are blue.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about just news announcer guys.
Okay, were TikTok McLaughlin.
Yeah, it was probably taught at Syracuse.
Yeah, that's right. That's the first one. The first announcer
you just
class.
I'm sorry, you can't be an announcer. Well, why? Why can't I be? Yeah, because you don't have the right voice.
Well, what does that voice need to sound like?
Yeah. 1906. Boys in blue.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Plenty of good observations. I want to talk about mental toughness. I want to talk about the mental toughness that the Avs showed at one critical juncture this game when this whole game, and quite honestly, the series and their season, was potentially hanging on the line. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
This isn't a time when you play two games all year and you've had success and you've won 50 games, so all of a sudden just change what you do because of one player, right? Like, people that say that online or whatever, like, to me, it's not realistic. And we know he can do it. He led the league in wins this year. So that's what we go with.
So the game plan was, we're not going to change the game plan. We're not going to go out of our way to play some sort of defensive shell in front of Alexander Georgiev. We're going to play our game because that's who and what we are. And for a time there, it didn't look good. And what I think will end up being the turning point of this series, if the Avalanche, as I expect, go on to win this series in seven, I think the turning point of the series was midway through the second period. The Avalanche get that 4-minute double minor high sticking penalty against Winnipeg when Cale Makar got clipped. And on that 4-minute power play, they had one shot, no goals, and then just a few seconds later, after Winnipeg kills it off, they score to go up 2-1. And at that moment, you're halfway through the hockey game. You're down 2-1. Crowd's going nuts. You just missed out on a golden opportunity on a 4-minute double minor. And you're facing the very real possibility of going down 2-0, where in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, home teams in a best of seven that grab a 2-0 series lead go on to win 89% of the time. And the way that the Avalanche responded at that moment really has to make you feel great and proud as an Avs fan, because Winnipeg got that goal at the 11:23 mark, and what did the Avalanche do? 5 minutes later, they started an onslaught that had them scoring three times in the final 5 minutes of the second period. Four goals total in the second period. They go from being down 2-1 to up 4-2. Ball game over.
They were awesome. In that last 5-6 minutes of the second period, they were awesome. But I will say this. I go back to what Jared Bednar said, and I find some of it disingenuous.
Oh, all right, let's play it. All right. So let's listen to this again, because you heard some disingenuous stuff in that. Yeah. All right, here you go.
This isn't a time when you play 82 games all year and you've had success and you've won 50 games, so all of a sudden just change what you do because of one player, right? Like people that say that online or whatever, like, to me, it's not realistic. And we know he can do it. He led the league in wins this year. So that's what we go with.
All right. What'd you find disingenuous?
The whole he led the league in wins this year. He had the 50th worst save percentage in hockey. And you can't tell me that had they had a better option, had they had a healthy backup goaltender, that goaltender wouldn't have gotten an opportunity. And I'm telling you right now, if you lose that game and he doesn't play well, if he's shaky like he was at the beginning of that game throughout the entirety of the game, and you lose that game 5-4, you got a different goaltender between the pipes. So, hey man, I get where Jerry Bednar is coming from, and he's got to come, you got to come from that angle, right? We're not changing. We believe in us, and that's the, that's what he's been preaching, because he's trying to preach his way into that goaltender playing better. And, good for Georgiev, who changed some things up. He admitted, man, I took less shots in the skate around in the morning. I try to save my energy, try to save my focus, try to save whatever. Whatever you got to tell yourself to play better. He played a lot better, and it's a great sign. But don't tell me that you didn't feel the pressure and you weren't ready to make a change had there been a viable option for you. You played Georgiev last night because you had nowhere. You were like officer and a gentleman. You had nowhere else to go.
So you're convinced, had Onanen been healthy, not sick, had been able to practice the last couple of days, you think he would have been between
I think he would have got a shot. Yes.
Can't really argue that.
I understand where Bednar is coming from. You're right. You guys did win a bunch of games. You played 82 games. You won, 50 games? Whatever you won. I get all that. And all that stuff is true. We believe in us and all that kind of stuff. But come on, behind closed doors, they were panic-stricken, like the rest of us, based upon their goaltending.
Well, whatever it took, whether it was the way that they propped him up, how maybe they didn't mean it. They were just doing it because it was, like you said, all they had left was this guy, and they had no choice but to try to prop him up.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it was legit, or whatever Georgiev did, it worked. Now, here we are, 1-1 in the series, and, the goalie still doesn't have great numbers so far through two games. You're talking about right now just a save percentage below 90, which is never good, and a goals against average of 5. So you're still talking about an .870 save percentage and a 5 goals against. Oh, you thought I was talking about Alexander Georgiev?
Yeah, that's...
No, I'm talking about Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah.
And to me, the story now is, it's not what do the Avs do about Alexander Georgiev. Now the question is, and this is being talked about in Winnipeg, I guarantee you, and it's being talked about all across Canada. What's wrong with Connor Hellebuck?
Well,
here's a guy that is the runaway favorite to win the Vezina Trophy for the second time in his career. The Winnipeg Jets were the league leaders in fewest goals allowed this season. And through two games, he's looked ordinary. And do the Jets have a goaltending problem?
See, I think very much like you've talked about with the Avalanche having, you know, defensive issues and breakdowns, this was the best defensive unit in hockey. They're the only team that didn't give up 200 goals on the season. And that's not all Hellebuck. And there's a little part and parcel here. Is part of that is, you know, the Jets are struggling a little bit. He's struggling a little bit. But the majority of that is, man, the Avalanche are just putting on
an offensive
clinic.
But there's enough there. So just like people were freaking out about Georgiev, there's enough there in Hellebuck's performance last night to say, uh-oh, what's wrong with him?
Yes.
That goal that Wood scored off the draw by Colton, that's a bad, bad goal to be caught surprised like that right off the face-off and have it go right through your five-hole like that. And then the misplay behind his net. Now, great play by Trent in applying the pressure, but still, that's a bad, bad play that led to an easy goal. So that's two goals right there that were Georgiev-type soft goals, where your coach, if you're Rick Bowness in Winnipeg, saying, hey, our goalie needs to be better.
Yeah.
Our goalie needs to make some saves.
There is no question that's the way they're feeling in Winnipeg right now.
So now he's lugging that around into game 3 and 4 out here, where hopefully the crowd gets ready to chant his name.
Right.
Like the Winnipeg fans were chanting Georgiev's names. I want to hear the Hellebuck chants. Starting bright and early in game 3 on Friday.
I get this from the text line. It's the playoffs. You can't change your goalie one game in.
Sure you
got to go with what you got there.
Oh, stop it. No.
Did you not watch the last time they won the Stanley Cup? And Frankie was playing just about as much as Kemper. So, yes, you can.
Coming up next in What's Trending, temper tantrums have consequences. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
The Avalanche hit the ice yesterday with a lot of angst, a lot of worry out there among Avs fans about how they would come out, how Alexander Georgiev would come out. Well, they did just fine. Fell behind 2-1, but over the second half of the hockey game, flat out dominated. Ended up skating away with a 5-2 win. And after the game, Jared Bednar says, we didn't really change much in the game plan.
I've read things online. Everyone's like, well, the Avs got to adjust. They got to pack it in. They got to do this and that. Like, we're not going to adjust our entire game plan, like, based on if Gorgie's playing well or not well, right? Like, he has a job to do. We have a job to do. Like, we're not changing. We'll tweak things based on what the Jets are doing and what we feel are important, but we're not going to change it for someone in our lineup.
How about Bedsy acknowledging he reads and listens to what the media is saying about his hockey team.
And by the way,
about him,
I love that we're not changing everything just because he admitted Georgiev's not playing well. We're not changing it just because Georgie's not playing well. He needs to do his job. That's the kind of tough love. Maybe he listened. Maybe he listened yesterday because he just admitted he listens. Right? So he listened and he realized the error of his ways. He realized I was right, you were wrong. And he probably aired him out a little bit. Kind of like Peyton Manning did to Russ. Or all the Rusties. How come you guys aren't angry? Yelling at Peyton.
When did Peyton air out Russ?
Not Peyton Manning, excuse me. Peyton, Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
On the sideline.
Too many Paytons are in this town.
There's a lot of Paytons in this town.
A lot of Paytons in this town. A
lot of Paytons.
Got to cut down on the number of Paytons. Mm-hmm. Wonder who the first one should be to go.
Wow. Was just kind of jerky right there.
Why?
I don't know why you were jerky right there.
Why is it being jerky?
Why are you saying
George Payton
needs to be fired?
Oh, you just automatically assumed it was George.
Well, Peyton you can't fire Peyton Manning. He's the grand poobah of all things football.
Right.
I mean, what does he do all day? He just texts random dudes and
texts runs Zach
over.
Wilson.
He said he ran over to the facility. I was at the facility yesterday.
He texted Zach Wilson. He called and spoke with J.J. McCarthy. And he was hanging out at the facility yesterday.
Right, just over there.
Dude, get a hobby. Get a hobby, will you?
It is. It's stalking people.
Well, speaking of Peyton Manning, gotta love Peyton Manning. Anyway, he acknowledged he and J.J. McCarthy recently talked, although they had to go through a couple of glitches to get there.
It's a good quarterback class. I actually had a conversation with J.J. McCarthy the other day. I texted him, Stoke, after the national championship. I never met him, but we invited him to our football camp, and like Harbaugh wouldn't let him miss a workout, so they didn't get to go. And so I just reached out and said, hey, man, congratulations. You know, wish you the best of luck in your next chapter. And I guess he thought it was a prank because he never called me back. So I texted him Monday, you know, from the same number. And he's like, oh, it really is you. I thought somebody was pranking me.
Yeah. How about the stick-to-itiveness of Peyton Manning?
Right.
You know, sends the one text. I will not be ignored. You will not ignore me.
It's like
little Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, like what was that lady's name? Fatal Attraction.
Watch out for
Glenn
the rabbit.
Close.
Watch out for the rabbit, man.
Holy Glenn Close.
Leave the bunny alone.
My goodness.
Holy smokes. Coming up,
Mice and Men.
Yeah. So LeBron James is getting ripped for what he had to say after the game the other night.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D-Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. The replay center is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
Getting ripped, being called out for, dude, your team just blew a 20-point lead. You missed a wide-open three that could have won it, and you're complaining about the officiating? He's getting ripped, he's getting ridiculed, and the thing I love about it the most are the folks who are coming out and going, you know who would never act like that after a loss? Michael Jordan.
Right.
So, once again, anybody who tries to make the argument that LeBron James is somehow the GOAT and somehow has surpassed Michael Jordan the other night was yet another example of why that is ridiculously false. I know that, Rogue, you probably have a lot of empathy for LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand why LeBron James said that after the game the other night because, you know, he felt bad.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Brian.
That's fabrication.
Am I wrong?
And Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst is in here explaining how the Nuggets, By the way, you know how many.
You probably felt empathy for LeBron at that moment.
Do you know how many 20-point leads that Michael Jordan gave up during his playoff career? That would be zero. He never did that. By the way, him complaining about the officiating. Here it is. NBA net free throw attempt differential since the start of 22-23. Who do you think leads the league in differential?
Player or team?
Team. Oh. NBA free throw attempt differential since the start of 22-23.
Oh, it's the Lakers.
The Lakers are sitting at 1,017 free throw differential. The next closest?
The Knicks.
At 358. You know where the Nuggets stand?
23rd.
Minus 143.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop.
I know.
Just stop. It's pathetic.
Real basketball fans understood a long time ago that there was never anything to this idea of LeBron somehow catching or passing Michael Jordan.
Mm.
We've always known that, but hopefully a new generation of fans or those that have always been LeBron fans are taking a look at how LeBron handled the other night and went, ooh, that's a bad look, dude. Mm-hmm. That's a bad look. Your stock just dropped in my eyes.
Right.
That is what is trending.
You know how I know you're young? When you text and you say, apologize to Georgie. Okay, stop. You old head. When you call me an old head, I know you're young and you don't know anything.
That's not going to go over.
That's when I know.
That is going to make them blow their backs.
That's when I know you don't know squat.
Okay. All right. Well, coming up next, for those of you who are pining for J.J. McCarthy, a former Bronco quarterback says hell no to the idea of J.J. That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Denver's very interested in him, and it's kind of like, you know, this is a place he'd love to come to, so, but it's a little bit out of his control, I don't have any insight for you, but I know the Broncos are looking. I know Sean and George have a plan, and looking forward to seeing how it works out.
Peyton Manning on with Dover and Stoke yesterday, talking about his conversation with J.J. McCarthy. And sharing that the Broncos like J.J. McCarthy and that J.J. likes the Broncos.
I like you a lot.
I like you a lot. Kyle Sloter. Oh, man. Do you remember the days of Sloter mania around here?
Sloter.
That was when we were going through that phase that, you know, every quarterback was a potential diamond in the rough, you know? Yeah. Chad Kelly, Kyle Sloter, you know, it started with T-Sim. You know, never mind that nobody else in the NFL thinks this guy is worth being drafted. We got a future star in this guy.
Yeah.
And love Kyle Sloter. But anyway, he had this to say about J.J. McCarthy. And I'll read from his ex-tweet Twitter post. Let me preface this before I say something controversial, says Sloter. I've only watched two games of film on J.J. McCarthy. They were the national championship and the playoff game against Alabama. I don't see anything that would make me want to draft him in the first round of this draft. Ball placement is erratic, forcing receivers to make acrobatic catches, questionable decision-making, good, not great arm, and I wonder if he's able to read a defense as well as he will be required to. He definitely had moments where he stepped up and made a play, but we're talking about him going number two in the draft. I think that's a massive stretch, QB 5 or 6 in this draft, in my opinion.
So he prefaced it by saying, that's like, hey, no offense, but
right.
I think this guy sucks.
Well, somebody called him out on saying that, you know, let me make this clear. I haven't watched much of J.J. McCarthy, right? Somebody called him on that. Right. And Sloter responded, I watched and broke down every second of the two biggest games of his career. It's kind of like you with Michael Penix.
Yeah.
You know, people got on you for saying, well, you're talking about his one game against Michigan. And your point was a good one. Well, that was the one and only game that he played last year against a
good team,
a good defense that is the closest thing he's going to see to an NFL defense.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting because, you know, everywhere you look, Mike, there are pros and cons to all these guys. And everybody's looking at a little bit different. You're looking at the same tape, but you're seeing different nuance and different things. And listen, man, I'm not gonna sit there and say Kyle Sloter's, you know, totally incorrect because Kyle Sloter played the position and he's looking for certain things. I will just say this. When you watch all the tape from all the quarterbacks and you see what they run, it makes you really question, to me anyhow, just what you're watching in college football in general and how little it really translates to the National Football League. What do you think the percentage of, like, what do you think, how much, let me figure out a way to ask you this. What do you think the percentage is on average, of the percentage of plays you run, like in pro football versus what you run in college football? How much do you think the playbook is pared down in college as opposed to what you're going to be required to do at the professional level?
All right, so what kind of pro stuff shows up in a college playbook?
Well, just, yeah, but all, but like the volume of stuff that you're required to know in college, how much more do you think you have to know in the pros?
Well, let's start with the fact that most college quarterbacks look over to the sideline and they're reading
a card.
A card that has a
picture.
Four cards. There's a barn, there's a space car, there's a race car, there's a pig, you know, and there's a bell.
Right.
And he turns, he looks at the cards, he goes back to the hall and says, "Guys, we're running bell."
Right. Well, so, they all look at it, too, because they don't get in the huddle.
That's true. So
everybody looks at it and goes, okay.
That's true. They don't even huddle.
I'm the bell guy. Oh, I'm the barn guy. I'm the race car. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Yes. All right. So there's
Can
that.
Can I be Lightning McQueen today?
Yes.
Please, coach.
Ka-chow.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, you know, I got
grandkids. Someone's seen that a few times.
I got grandkids.
But, no, I would say that... And so your argument is that McCarthy is the guy that you've looked at out of all these quarterbacks that you like the best, because at least when you look at his film, you see more NFL.
More transferable stuff.
More pro stuff run by Michigan and J.J. McCarthy than any of the other guys.
Well, a lot more from a personnel standpoint, different personnels, formationally. So I know that he is in charge formationally at the line of scrimmage. He knows how to get him in and out of formations, motions and shifts, changing the strength. More of what you do in the National Football League. Okay, so that was kind of one of my takeaways, is there's less of a learning curve for McCarthy than there is for any of these other quarterbacks. But go ahead. So what do you think the difference is?
Oh, boy. I would think there's only probably about 10%?
No, well, the volume of plays, I don't know about the kind of plays, but just the volume of what you're doing, about 50% less in college.
Oh, just scaled back. Okay.
Just scaled back.
I got
50%.
I was looking at like carryover, like commonality. But
yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So, I mean, not only are you required to not huddle and then not call plays and then not understand, you know, but 50% of, like, you're 50% less of what you're going to be required to do when you get to the pros.
I love this text. Reaction to Kyle Sloter. No one cares what this guy Kyle has to say. But I'm sure I could go back and look at your past texter, and there'll be one that says, the Broncos got to draft a quarterback. They need to move up to get McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. It's kind of like the whole stick to sports stuff you hear. It's like, you just need to stick to sports.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do? Well, I'm a plumber. Well, why don't you stick to plumbing?
Yeah.
Why should I listen to your opinion on it?
Right.
Why should you have an opinion? Why should you be allowed to toss out your opinion? Why don't you just stick to plumbing?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against plumbers. I'm just using it as an example, but I always
love plumbers.
I chuckle at the whole, you just got to stick to sports.
I get the one, just stick to football.
Right, right, right.
And like you said,
right.
From some dude that, you know, it's waiting tables or whatever. Not there's anything wrong with waiting tables. See, now,
I know.
You gotta be careful.
I know.
Because we no longer have free speech because you offend everybody, right? So it's.
But it does always pop up during the political discourse, whatever side you're on, you know. Stick to sports.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear your opinion.
Mm.
What do you do?
I'm an actor.
But no, it's funny. What do you do? Well, I sell cars. So then why should I listen to your opinion? Why should you have an opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you stick to selling cars? Don't tell me about anything.
Right.
Anyway. All right.
Okay.
We move on. The Avalanche gained the win last night. Got a text here. Hey, guys, I swear I saw Rogue on the corner handing out hugs to Jets fans.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue, this is when you know you've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
when the texters go after you.
Yeah, when the texters don't like
this
you.
This is don't get upset.
You're part of the crew.
This is actually good. When you say something that the texters come after you, this is good. So you got into a lot of trouble yesterday when you came out and said that you had empathy for the Lakers after what they went through the other night. And you caught a lot of heat, including from your father,
Keith.
This is awesome.
Keith.
Share this story.
Yeah. So I texted my dad and asked him to do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, do you take back your compassion for those scumbag Lakers?
You want your favor done. You got to take it back.
And I said, well, that's going to be tough because look, I want people to like Nuggets fans. I don't want to start winning and then all of a sudden be in the same vein as the Warriors or the Lakers. I do this for the betterment of Nuggets Nation. Okay?
All right. So how did dear old dad respond to that?
And then my dad came around and he said, you're a true patriot to Nuggets Nation, Sydney. We should have a parade just for you, Sydney for president.
That is some snark.
Total snark.
I want to meet your dad because it sounds like he's a cool dude.
Yeah, he's real cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, I said, do what's right in 2024 and vote Sydney.
Wow.
Yeah, your dad basically just said, no favors for you. That's what he said.
All right, I'm hearing from already, I've received texts from a friend of mine who's a plumber and a friend of mine who sells cars. And they're like, hey, what's the deal? I'm like, hey, I had to grasp at something. You were the first occupations that I thought of. No disrespect.
Yeah. But let me disrespect you.
Let me use you as an example of my derision. So do you feel bad for a Winnipeg fan this morning? Do you feel bad for the Jets?
No, it's a different kind of loss.
Why? This was a gut punch loss for Winnipeg, they got to be worried about their goaltender like we were worried about our goaltender.
There's not the same rivalry. There's not the same Winnipeg just, lording over you for 18 years or whatever, 40 years, whatever it is. 18 championships.
Really? All I'm saying.
You're going to go with the 18. Yeah. You're going to go with the 18. Yeah. You're going to count that one, huh? I hope you're showing a Keith level of snark
here. Yes, I am. Because that's what the Laker fans
all right,
say.
Good. Good.
In-season tournament.
In-season
tournament.
Give me a break.
I'm just saying you can recognize when a loss stings for someone else.
Yeah, but you can still... But you can revel in it.
Yes.
That's the difference here. That's the problem I have with you is that you can absolutely recognize the gut punch nature of a loss for your opponent and then go, ha-ha, I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
I want the Nuggets to win so bad that, I'm just too superstitious to act like a crazy fan like that.
Yeah. You know what? For 40-whatever years, they did it to us. Now that the shoe is on the other foot, it's like Chiefs.
But don't you think that that's wrong?
By the way, you brought up something interesting. Actually, I'm glad you brought this up. So you're worried that the Nuggets will have so much success that the Nuggets will be hated? I think that's the best sign of respect. I don't think there's anything sweeter than being so successful that everybody else out there hates you. Like, I bet Chief fan, I'm going to speak for Chief fan right now. I bet you love it. I bet you love the amount of hate out there. I bet if you were a Patriot fan, you loved all the hate that was directed at you.
Yeah, but that's because the Chiefs are a hateable team. I just feel like that's not the nature of the Nuggets. I feel like we have Nikola Jokic, who's the coolest guy ever.
Right.
We have a really humble team. I don't want to be seen as annoying. I want people to recognize our greatness.
But see what's going
to
happen. Yeah. What's going to happen here, though? And then you guys jump in. What's going to happen is the Nuggets themselves may not be disliked, but you know what's going to happen. The perception will come out of nowhere with no justification whatsoever, but it always happens. Oh, Nugget fans are so arrogant. They're
arrogant
about their team.
Why would we feed into that?
I love it.
Because it's almost inevitable, right?
Right.
Because they're going to hate us out of jealousy.
Exactly.
They hate us because they hate us.
Right. Embrace it.
Let me ask you this, and I'm serious.
I think it's the best feeling to have as a fan.
Does anybody hate San Antonio fan?
Well, that's a good point.
Because you are never going to get the national ESPN, Fox, whatever, attention that you would if you're the Warriors or you're the Lakers or you're the Celtics that go on a run or whatever. You're never going to get that level. You're going to be fairly San Antonio. You're always going to have a bit of a chip on your shoulder, and you're never going to get the national attention that you've probably earned. Like, they're forced to cover you. They don't want to cover you. It's just like this series. The talk on ESPN right now is, how do the Lakers overcome that devastating loss? How do they, you know, bounce back? Do they take anything out of, you know, building a 20-point lead? Like, it's all about how the Lakers going to win this. It's not about the Nuggets and their mental toughness and their domination and how Jamal did what he did. It's all about how are the Lakers going to win this series. That'll never happen to the Nuggets.
A couple of quick texts here. Rogue, you're making us girls look bad.
Oof.
And Rogue, you are clearly adopted.
Wow. Wow.
Dude.
Rogue.
A real... people are just, they don't understand. I don't know. Maybe you can unlock the higher part of your brain or something.
Wow.
Because, like, what I'm saying, I want the Nuggets to win so bad. I hate the other team so much that I believe in protecting our image.
The damage is already done.
You
don't have to apologize. Yeah,
Is Rogue a Karen supporter?
Right.
Rogue would like to buy the world a Coke.
Keith, you want to call in and tell Sid that the news? You want to call in and say, honey, mommy and daddy love you a lot, but...
We're waiting for the right time.
If people knew how much I diss these teams, ask Richie. Next time you see Richie, ask Richie to tell you how I feel about the Warriors.
Okay.
He'll let you know.
Well, then share that.
Saying this is a tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. And also, don't you think that that's the problem with the world today? Is people have been done wrong for so long that now that they're getting their time in the light and they do it the wrong way, they completely go in the opposite direction instead of correcting the flaws of the past. Oof. And being a good person today.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is sports.
This thing got way...
I'm just saying...
You just like lost... Sports hate and real life hate are different.
You just lost Mark.
I'm just saying that's
way over his head.
That's
like
the concept.
To buy the world a Coke. Perfect harmony.
That's all he heard.
Like that. Mm-hmm.